It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. This week on Money Matters, what a year it has been in 2019. So we've got this year of absolute 180-degree turns. Just 180s left and right. The war on prosperity as a topic today. Did you hear this week what Charlie Munger said about rich people? If you don't know who Charlie Munger is, he's kind of the number two for Warren Buffett. In fact, let's say you and your spouse have been together forever, or siblings are there forever, you spend so much time together, like me and Ryan Ely, who just brought me my iPhone and left in my car. Thank you, Ryan. You end up talking alike, and you end up walking alike. Your gestures are the same. Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett are the same. They've been together for like 125 years, and they both sound like each other. They both say the same things. And pretty much everything they say is funny. And they're so old and so rich, they can say whatever they want. They just don't care. So when you're like the richest guy in the world, and I think Munger's probably still a top couple. I don't know where Munger is. I know Buffett's top five. He's given away so much money, he'd be number one. But Munger, Ryan, do we know where Munger is on the list? I don't think it matters, but Munger's in the list. He's a multi-billionaire. He's a much older guy. And he really can say whatever he wants. Doesn't matter, right? He can say whatever he wants. He does not care. He's not running for office. He's already rich. Everybody already loves the guy, just like Buffett. So this week, and this is really in response to Amazon pulling out of New York City. We all know that Amazon did this big beauty pageant from city to city to say, who's gonna lure us in? Let's see, Charlie Munger, breaking news. Charlie Munger is worth $1.7 billion. I think that gets him on the list. He's at least a top 400 or 500. How old is Munger? So Amazon made every city do this beauty pageant, and we did it here in Atlanta, and there's both sides. Oh, I don't want Amazon to come here because it's going to be too much traffic. That's really the only, and it's going to ruin housing prices, right? It's going to push up housing prices and make it unaffordable for average Americans. And I get all those arguments. So those are very real arguments. And you hear about what they did in Seattle, evidently. Amazon turns on the light during the day in the campus and everything's bright and vibrant and they all leave at 5 o'clock. The restaurants are empty. I don't really know how true that is, but that's one of the arguments I've heard. So, of course, New York threw a temper tantrum. At least some of the politicians did. Many of the politicians in New York said, hey, we can't have them here. We're giving away all these incentives for them to come. We should take that money and spend it on the people. Give that money out to the people would be better than giving it to the rich Jeff Bezos. Of course, what they're missing is that they might give $3 billion incentives and get back $30 billion worth of prosperity. I don't know if that would have played out or not. I don't really know if the light switch off in Seattle is really true or if it's exaggerated. But I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to push out anything that leads to economic prosperity. And if we're whether it's to the person, to the county, to the city, to the company, small, medium, or large, you have to continue to choose to grow or else you die. I mean, that's a law of nature. You don't just curl up in a ball and you don't just curl up in a ball and say, we're good. We don't need any more prosperity. We're good to go. So what Munger said today or this week, and again, he can say whatever he wants. So if you get mad at me for saying all this, I'm going to just say, look, it was Munger that said all this. It's really not Wes Moss. But this is what Munger's take was on basically Amazon saying, look, get out. Or New York City politicians say, get out to Amazon. As all the states have wooed, New York basically won and D.C. won. And what Munger is saying is that this is emblematic of what the problem that New York City has created and high tax states like California. They've created a big problem. And New Jersey is the same way. California is the same way. New York City is the same way. Really, then this is coming from Munger. The blue states, they punish their citizens and they with ultra high taxes. So did New York City shoot themselves in the foot on pushing Amazon out? Munger says a number of places have shot themselves in the foot. Connecticut, California, New York City. They've all made a concerted effort to drive out the rich people. But it's a stupid idea if you're a state. Why would you drive out the rich people? It hurts you. Beautiful Connecticut real estate, down 50% in value. Why? Because they drove the wealthy out. They've driven out all the rich people, which, again, according to Munger, is really stupid. Lots of rich people, he knows, I know, live in California. Why would you want to drive out the rich folk? Rich people are, and again, this is Munger, not me on this. Rich people are old, and they're keeping the hospitals busy, and they don't burden the schools, and they don't burden the cops or the police departments. They don't burden the prisons, and they give a ton to charity. So they're doing all the things you want to do in a society. Give to charity. You're staying out of jail. You're not taking up the time of the police force. They're not going to school, and they're keeping the hospitals busy. Why would you want to push them out? That's what Munger's saying. Who wouldn't want rich people? Florida's done a wonderful job of this. They've been smart about this, so the way they've basically recruited rich people. So what's the problem here, right? Do people in California, what's the risk here? Do they become so anti-growth that they just are now known to drive out the wealthy, drive out prosperity? There's a lot of arguments on the other side here, right? You could say that, yes, if you're trying to buy a normal house in Silicon Valley or San Francisco or Sausalito or Playa del Mar or Playas Verdes, wherever you're going, Manhattan Beach in California, it's really tough to do because the few tech companies have driven up prices and it's made it unaffordable, right? Now, those are select cities, and that is a relatively select problem that you hear about every single day over and over and over again. But how is Munger not right on this, though? Right, to fight against economic prosperity like these states are doing is an enormous mistake. And it's happening in kind of just in plain view now. It's no longer an undertone. Amazon getting pushed out of New York City is a headline tipping point for what states are really starting to do, which they've been doing in some way for really a fair amount of time now. Once you reverse the course of economic growth or prosperity moving forward, it's going to find another home. It's going to go somewhere else. Just like Amazon's going to go somewhere else, another location. All right, you don't want us, we'll go somewhere else. And when a negative economic vortex then settles in, so you start going backwards, it's really hard to reverse that negative course. Think about it. And you've seen this happen in cities across America over different economic cycles. Neighborhoods get worse. So the economy gets kind of worse. Tax receipts go down, neighborhoods get worse. Then more people leave. And then tax receipts drop. And then the area gets more dilapidated. And then more people move out. And then companies move out. And then more people have less jobs. So they move out. And it's this economic death spiral. So it's a negative vortex that settles in. And I think states have to be very, very careful about. You got to be careful about reversing the course of prosperity, because if you're not headed forward, you get into this negative cycle. Prosperity on its own, it doesn't just happen. It has to be worked on every day at every level. You and I need to work on it. We need to improve ourselves every day or we reverse course. The same has to do with business. So every business has to continue, at least try to get better or improve every day, or it's going to reverse course. All the way to the larger economic pieces of the equation, like a city or a state or a county. It's the same laws of progress and prosperity that they have to be maintained. They have to be worked on. So to stop that process out of spite, I don't know what you would call this. And again, not a political, we try not to be political here on Money Matters, but if you're stopping the process of prosperity out of choice, hey, we no longer want this prosperity. It's too much. it's not worth it, then you're making, this is a clear choice that they're making as a city. Call it political vindictiveness, or is it maybe just simply you're inviting economic pain, and in the end, you're inviting human pain. And that's not a system that I want to be part of. I doubt you want to be part of that either. So let's stay on our own, let's stay in our own lane of economic prosperity. We'll continue to remember that prosperity is not something that we want to take for granted or we want to fight against. For goodness sakes. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Yeah. I'd still want Amazon to come here. I still invite them to come here. We're not going to kick them out. Now, today we're going to talk about this just total 180 in the world that we live in. So the Fed's done a 180. Trump and China's done a 180. The Federal Reserve, again, we'll look at what they're expecting for interest rate hikes, potentially the market is. And then the market has done a 180. Did you see what happened this week in the market? Well, we're going to talk about it. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Neal and I are here just talking about the war within the Liberal Party. It's like the Herbal Tea Party and the left of the Herbal Tea Party, like throwing stones at each other. Don't give away $3 billion to get $30 billion. It doesn't make sense. Wait a minute. Does it make sense? Well, that's not our fight right now until Amazon. They're not even opening up the beauty pageant again to look at another city. So anyway, we're going to do fine. We're going to do just fine here. We're going to have mini Amazon headquarters. We got a lot of Amazon here in Atlanta already. We got a little Google here. We're going to continue to have hubs of the greatest companies in the world. And that's fine with me. This is going to continue to be a vibrant economy here in the Southeast. It's going to continue to grow. If you look at the GDP of our area, so Metro Atlanta, Sandy Springs, Roswell. And this really, in fairness, is similar to a lot of the other major city centers that have cropped up in the top 15, top 20 even. So if you looked at Austin, Texas, you looked at LA and New York City, and think about Denver, big city centers that have done it right, that are continuing to progress, and they may not be the nucleus of technology on the planet like Silicon Valley, but they have a ton of economic activity. Think about Pittsburgh, Austin, Atlanta, lots of cities around the country that are progressing at a very advanced pace, technologically and economically, are growing at double the pace of U.S. GDP. So if you look at regional or very localized gross domestic product, we're growing. If you look at the numbers for our region here, and it's very similar. If you can go on and look at data for Austin as an example, or Charlotte as an example, growing at something like 4 to 4.5, even 5% a year on average, while the United States has grown at about 2. That's really what's happened over the last decade, half a decade or decade, or even going back to the year 2001 when they started really keeping track of this regional data. The big city centers that are doing it right, that are adding companies, that are investing in their infrastructure, investing in their people, investing in downtown. So like we've talked about here, I wrote about it in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, investing to make downtown Atlanta, that was used to be just the World of Coke, to a wonderful aquarium, a new World of Coke. Endless now, not endless. I think we could do more with museums, but there's a lot going on now downtown. Tabernacle, the Civil Rights Museum, that you can come here as a from outside of the state of Georgia and really spend some time here in this city. And to top it all off, we have a Ferris wheel. And the Ferris wheel is like a bright light to say, hey, come on down and just hang out, have some fun. This is progress. This is what cities need to do to stay ahead of the curve. Because if a city isn't growing, it's going in the wrong direction. It's dying. And I would not invite that like New York City just did when it comes to Amazon. I would not invite the lack of progress on my city. I just don't think it makes any sense. When Money Matters returns, I want to get to the phones, answer your questions. What are some of the specifics on how you do income investing? What do you do if you're offered a lump sum versus a monthly amount? from your company that's right-sizing you or supplementing you. What is it? Supplementing, we talked about last week. There's a lot to talk about here. So the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Kind of just a, you know, I don't know, 48 degrees and rainy. A Sunday, you know, as a dad, you're thinking about, you look at the weather like every 10 minutes to see if it's going to rain. And today is one of those days where it looks like it kind of just rains a little piddles, or it looks like as you have a good chance of it most of the day. But maybe not enough to cancel practice. So I don't know. I still want to get the kids out of the house. So anyway, that's what I look at on a normal Sunday. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Give us a call here in the studio. We're going to go to the phones here. The theme, we already talked about Charlie Munger today and his take on who's kind of right. He's Warren Buffett's right-hand man. He's worth $1.7 billion. So he kind of just says whatever he wants to say. And at $1.7 billion, that lands him at number 1,394 on the wealth depth chart. He's the 1,394th richest person in the world, according to Forbes. So he says really whatever he wants to say. And he says, look, you're crazy to push out rich people. They're great for the economy. They're great for everything. And Amazon just New York City just did that. But anyway, let's move on. The top three questions that investors ask here on the show, and in some way, shape, or form, we typically are talking about your particular situation, how it relates to income investing. You know, what do you do to shift your portfolio to kick out more regular income from dividends and interest and distributions that adds up to a portfolio yield that's something that's steady in an otherwise relatively unsteady world? What do you do when it comes to a choice on a pension versus a lump sum? So I'm going to get $1,000 a month or $250,000. What's a better deal? $1,000 a month for life or a check for today for $250,000. What's a better deal? And what's a reasonable annual rate of return I can expect and so I can stop saving and then keep my principal intact? That's another question. Any derivation of that? And then if you want to go to healthcare, mortgage, taxes, you name it, we're here to help with that on a Sunday morning. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Give us a call. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to start with Betsy in Atlanta. Hey, Betsy, what's going on? How can I help? Betsy, can you hear me? Hey, Bets. Okay, hang on a sec here. I'll come back to you, Betsy, because she's not listening. And we'll go to, let's see, hold. And then we'll go back to Mark. Let's say Mark in Atlanta. Mark, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help?
Hey, quick question. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. My wife's getting ready to retire in a couple of years, and she's got a pension with her company, and it's probably about $350,000 right now. When she gets out of it, and we're just trying to find out: do we want to take it in one lump sum, or do we want to take it, you know, as to your point about taking it a monthly stipend?
Now, do you know? Did they give you any indication of how much per month it's going to be?
No, not yet. I think because she's still, you know, 4 or 5 years out, we haven't gotten anything. But I guess that's the first question we have to find out, why they haven't given us the any amounts yet of what it would be like.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do what I call the 6% rule in reverse for you, because Mark, typically when we get these questions, it's somebody that say, hey, I'm getting an offer. It's $1,562 a month. And the lump sum is, you know, $232,000. Which is a better deal? And then there's a lot to think about beyond just the straight numbers of it, because you also have to think about, does it cover all of her life and then your life, or what's called a period certain? There's a lot of options when it comes time to take that annuity stream. And then you've got to weigh your other investments. So if you maybe you have plenty of other investments, sometimes you can wait. Tie goes to the monthly amount. It seems like a good deal to take either. Or let's say your tie ball game, we could take the lump sum or it could take the monthly. If you already have a lot of liquidity that's producing income, sometimes it's nice to put the burden back on the company and say, yeah, pay me my $1,800 a month for the rest of my life. And if something happens to me when I'm 82 and my husband or wife lives another 15 years, you pay them for the rest of life. So there's a lot of other variables beyond just the math on this, Mark, but I'm going to do the math with you kind of in reverse. If you are, if the amount, and let's just fast forward a couple of years and it's time for your wife to say, hey, I'm out of here. Let's try to make a deal. $350,000, let's say that's the lump sum. But then they offer you $18,000. Let's say they offer you $23,000 a year. All right. We're going to decide between those two. Well, $23,000 a year, which is the lump, which would be the payment stream, right? Almost $2,000 a month. And then you divide that by the lump sum of $350,000. That's about a 6.5% annual rate of return. That's kind of, it's really guaranteed, right? It's as long as that company is around, they'll pay you. And even if they go out of business, the PBGC takes over and they'll pay you. As long as you're not over the pension maximum, and most people aren't, because the pension maximum that the PBGC will cover is somewhere close to $60,000 a year. So if you're beyond $57,000-$58,000 a year in a pension, if something happens to your company, that will not get replaced for you. See, that's a whole nother conversation. But most pensions are under $57,000 a year, right? So in this case, if they said, I'm going to offer you $23,000 a year, I would do the math on that and say, hey, that's a pretty good deal. It's going to be hard for you to, quote, guarantee yourself 6.5% a year for the rest of your life. You may be better off taking that as a monthly amount. It's usually not that simple, though. They'll usually come at you and say, hey, we'll give you $19,000 a year. And you have to divide that by the lump sum. And that is a little tougher of a choice here, right? $19,000 a year divided by $350,000, and now you're at 5.5% or 5.4%. And here's my line in the sand, Mark. The monthly amount has to pass what I call the 6% test. So in order to take the monthly amount, it has to be 6% of the lump sum or more in order for me to say, yes, let's do the monthly amount. Otherwise, you have to remember, you can take your own money back at a 5% rate, if you will, at zero interest, and your money still doesn't run out for 20 years. So imagine you taking a pension at age 65. If you just put the money in a bank account and had zero interest, you could pull 5% a year out for 20 years. So it gets you from 65 all the way to 85. So why would you let a company trade you the lump sum relative to what they would pay you monthly if it's anywhere less than at least 6, right? So that's my line in the sand. So if we did this in reverse, you basically say, okay, well, what's 6%? If I had $350,000, 6% of that would be $21,000 a year. So that's kind of the line in the sand that I think you and your wife want to be looking at. If the time comes and you have a choice to make, if it's $21,000 a year or more, then you really want to consider taking the monthly. If it's $21,000 a year or less, then you're going to probably go back to that company, and it probably makes the most sense to say, hey, just give me the lump sum. I'll roll it into an IRA. I'm not going to have to pay taxes on it. And then I'll create my own pension, right? I'll give myself back the 5% a year, and I'll make 3 to 5% a year over time, even in a really conservative portfolio, Mark. And if you do that, then the money doesn't run out at all. And ideally, in an ideal world, if you're an income investor over time, you should be able to take your 3 to 4% a year and still have the whole corpus left, because that goes back to really what we call the 4% withdrawal rule, which says, hey, if you're only taking 4% a year for from the first year plus inflation, then 75 to 80% of the time that money will last you for really forever. So it'll last you 50 years. And that's what we're trying to solve for here is being able to make the money last, being able to increase that money over time to battle inflation, which typically pensions will not do, by the way. That's another part of the calculation. Mm-hmm. They usually don't go up for cost of living. Now, some of the government pensions will do that, but most private pensions are going to be a static amount the first month, and it never goes up. And it might seem like a good amount when you're 65, but when you're 90, you look back and say, wow, $1,500 a month ain't as much as it used to be. And that's another big consideration. So really, those are the things to think about, Mark. You guys obviously have a little bit of time. You have a couple of years before you have to make that call. But I think this is a really good primer as we talk this through for anybody else listening. These are all the things you want to start thinking about, particularly if you're in if it's a decision you're forced to make over the next couple of months, which, again, I bet you there are people listening right now that are in this situation, then they're having to make this decision. And these are the things we need to think about. We've got to run, Mark, but Mark, thank you for your call.
Much.
We appreciate it.
Have an awesome day.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your day. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We're going to run to a quick weather traffic, and then we're going to come back and take more phone calls. The number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. So if you have a question like Mark or of anything related back to what you should be doing with your investments and just want a third-party objective opinion here on a Sunday morning as you're riding in the car to church, or maybe you're finished church at this point, then we'd love to do that here in the studio. It's a fun part of Money Matters. So the number here, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK, which is 1-800-972-8255. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, that's easy to do so. You can find us at yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com, whether you're in Atlanta or Georgia or even outside. Either way, we're easy to find. We're in the Atlanta area and have offices in several other cities at this point. And we're happy to chat about your specific situation. So go to yourwealth, yourwealth.com. Contact button upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan and the Money Matters team, and we're happy to help. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Sunday morning, Wes Wash, your host, along with Ryan Ely, just hanging out here on a Sunday morning, answering your calls and questions. 404-872-0750 is the number in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. All the folks that are outside of Atlanta and Texas, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, California, Seattle, call us here, 1-800-WSB-TALK, which is 1-800-972-8255. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, good morning. What's going on? How can we help?
Yeah, good morning.
What's going on?
I have a question for my parents. They're both in their early 80s, and helping them try to make some financial decisions. And they have just under 100,000 in retirement funds, about 30,000 in an IRA, and then the rest in a self-managed money market account that has mutual funds. And I'm trying to help them figure out, is it time for them to take that out of that and put it into something more secure?
So the 30,000, then you're saying, so 100 and not an IRA, the 30,000 is in a money market with mutual funds. So how much of it, let me ask you this, on the whole picture, mm-hmm. if you looked at your parents and you'd say, hey, they have 150,000 or 300,000, how much mm-hmm. of that is in the market, whether it's a mutual fund or an ETF or a stock, versus just sitting there in
sure.
cash?
90,000 is in mutual, is in, you know, the market. Mutual funds, I guess that's what I should say. But
they are stock mutual funds. So really a pretty big percentage, sounds like.
Yes.
And
right.
are they...
And they don't have much. I mean, if they have, you know, Social Security and some income from military, but they draw about 5,000... No, I'm sorry. They draw about 500 a month from that 100,000.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. So they are using that money. They're using 500 bucks a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the 100,000. So 500 bucks a month, obviously, is just $6,000 a year. So they're taking about 6%, right? It's $100,000 that they're drawing from. And
yeah, that sounds good.
And that, and really for somebody in their 80s, remember we talk about all these rules, the 4% rule, 5% rule, 6% rule. Remember, when you get to be in your 80s, and even though you have, God willing, they'll live till they're 100, they're, mm-hmm. the time horizon now is only 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is that it doesn't have to necessarily get ultra, ultra conservative. I think you still want to have some, I think you still want exposure to equities. I'm a big believer, I call this the 15-50 stock rule, which is if you think you have 15 years left on this planet, you should have around 50% in stocks, as long as you're not extremely nervous about the markets. And if your parents are okay with that, I would say that it might be to have 90,000 out of 100 or 90% in the market is probably a little much, David.
Mm-hmm.
But to have 50,000, I think, is fine, particularly if the other half is in something really safe. So treasuries are paying 2.5%. You can get 2.5-3% right now in an ultra-conservative environment. So think of maybe balancing those two halves as opposed to having 90% in stocks, because their time horizon is still 15. It's still 15 years. And it's okay to still have stocks, even in your 80s, for most folks. At least that's my opinion. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to come back and go to the phones again. So stay tuned right here for news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here in the 10 o'clock hour. What are we talking about today? Well, the 180 degree turn for almost all of the big economic themes that we wrote about for 2019, that we said we're teetering on, whether one side of the fence is glory, the other side of the fence is disaster. And we have just teetered to the side where the markets really, really like what they're seeing and have had just this enormous reversion to the mean. Remember, reversion to the mean isn't necessarily mean things have to go down. A reversion to the mean can be making up for excessive pessimism like we went through in the end of 2018. It was selling begot selling. It was a rough day in the market that led to another rough day, and the Fed was fumbling and Trump and China was fumbling, and we just cascaded lower. And within a very short period of time, we're in a bear market, 20% down, just like that. Here we are in, let's call it, a month and a half into 2019, and a lot of that has been made up for as the economic backdrop still remains strong and the Fed has really calmed down and Trump has softened his tone, and you can see that it looks like we're trying to get some sort of deal with China. And that has led to extraordinary moves in this market to the upside. We're going to take your calls and questions, though, here on a Sunday morning. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, here along with Ryan Ealy. Luke Moss is not in studio today. He's over at the Fern Bank, I think, looking at dinosaurs or something, and which is an okay excuse not to be here in the studio. As long as he's doing something productive in the world, my kids do not have to come to the studio. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm going to go to – so give us a call here in the studio. I want to go to the, continue to go to the phones before we get to the to this 180-degree theme that we've seen these just massive changes in the most important economic and market-moving areas in 2019, and we're going to get to that as well. So if you have questions about – call us in the studio. The number 404-872-0750 is the number. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. What are your questions about? Well, we've talked about pension lump sum. That is a never-ending set of variables, and it's unique for everyone, meaning that you're getting an offer. You may be getting an offer that doesn't look like anybody else's because your age is different, your family situation is different, how much you've saved, and now your company's saying, hey, you need to take either this amount, it's a big lump sum, here's this 100 grand or 800 bucks a month. What's better? Here's 350 grand or 19 grand a year for the rest of your life. Here's $500,000 or $2,500 a month. Which way are you supposed to go? That's pension lump sum. Doesn't meet the 6% test. What should you be doing? Maybe for your parents. We just had a call that says, hey, I my parents are older. They're in their 80s. Should I have, what's their allocation need to be? What's my allocation need to be? I'm in my 50s or 40s. How much should I have in stocks versus bonds versus alternative incomes like REITs or alternative income areas like REITs or closed-end funds or pipeline companies? What about all these other areas in markets where I can generate a higher current yield, maybe with a little less growth, a little bit more yield or income? What's that balance? What's the right balance for you? We're here to give you just third-party objective opinion here on a Sunday morning. So if you're driving around, headed to church, or maybe you're finished church now at this point, headed to brunch with the family, or just hanging out in the kitchen or on the porch, listening to WSB Radio, good morning. We'd love to talk with you and get your question and try to help you through. If you have a question or been thinking about something this year, I'm telling you, there are so many other people with that have been thinking that same question or stumped on the same idea. May not be the exact same fingerprint, but it's similar. And your calls are helpful, and they're really helpful to the community as we kind of just talk these through. And what we would like to continue to be the most objective financial live financial radio show on air in America. We're into our 10th year of Money Matters, Ryan and I. So we've been here for a long time answering your questions, and we'll continue to do so, God willing, for another 10 years. So the number here in the studio, give us a call, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Or if you're outside of Georgia, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Or that's 800-972-8255. We're going to start with Douglas in Pine Log, Georgia. Did Ryan get that right? Is it really a Pine Log, Georgia?
I hope so, because that's where I'm at.
I hope so. Let me see. Let me Google this real quick. Where are we? Okay, you're just north of Cartersville.
That's correct, sir.
This is our first call from Pine Log, Georgia. So, Douglas, welcome to the show. What's going on? How can we help?
Well, I'm closer to 70 than I am 60, and I believe in what you do a little bit about the income. I've done that. I've got other monies coming in, but I'm saddled with what do I do with my short-term cash, money that I've got liquid. So far, I've been trying to use some of the checking and savings, but the best I've been able to find is from 2% to 3.66. I was wondering what you would do. And again, it's about three accounts for $75,000. What would you recommend to get the highest interest in return?
So this is so different, Douglas, than the last. If you called me 2 years ago, I would say, look, there's just not a lot you can do with short-term money. It's basically zero interest. And that's changed so dramatically. The Fed's raised interest rates now not 9 times in the last several years, and that's pushed up short-term interest rates. So now banks should be paying you money. If you're not getting paid by, and this is what banks do. When rates go up, federal funds rate goes up, the Federal Reserve pushes short-term, they can manually adjust short-term interest rates. The bond market does the rest, anywhere from go out 3 months to 30 years. That's the bond market. But the Fed does what's called the short end of the curve. They influence the federal funds rate. And they've pushed that up so significantly that now bank accounts and CDs are getting, they're in the 2.5% to 3% a year range. Now, banks are not going to go out there and immediately knock on your door and say, hey, we can pay more interest now. We can pay more interest because the Fed's raised rates. They're going to wait as long as they can and pay you as little as they can, because now they're getting paid by, they can get guaranteed money or free money from the Federal Reserve in the 2.5% range. While if they pay you 0.5%, they're getting what's called a net interest margin. So they're going to be slow to pay you more. So now you have to get out there and be proactive and shop and go find banks that are upping their interest rates, or their either money market rates or CDs. So I went to Bankrate. Now, I don't use these online banks. Now, I use Charles Schwab primarily for my investments and even for my banking. I have a lot of clients over the years that still will use some of these online banks. Now, you may not want to use an online bank, and I get that, but they do pay more interest. And I have not heard a problem with them. I know you kind of like to walk into a branch and know somebody and see an actual physical location. But the online banks that don't have hundreds and thousands of branches all over the country, they have less infrastructure and they can just pay more. So if you look on Bankrate and look at CD rates, you can get an 18-month CD at Capital One for 2.7%. You can get a one-year CD from Synchrony Bank that is 2.8%. And you're getting close to 3% on really short-term CD. That's a one-year or 18-month CD. If you go to savings accounts and you look at Bankrate, now those are going to be a little bit lower. But if you look online with savings accounts, you're going to still get 2.25 from a variety of institutions that are just online savings accounts. So I think my advice to you, Douglas, is that if your bank is trying to pay you 1 or 1.5, they are holding out. And as long as you can get proactive and go to Bankrate and look at a couple areas where you can do an online bank, if you know you're going to leave money in cash and you know you're not going to invest it, let's say for the next year and a half, and you just want to keep it safe, then the answer is 2.5%, call it closer to 3% when it comes to really, really safe money in the bank. So Douglas from Pine Log, Georgia, thank you for your call. We're going to run to weather traffic. Then we're going to come back and take more of your questions here. Tons of questions ahead here on Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team. Just go to yourwealth.com, Y-O-U-R, wealth.com. The contact button upper right-hand corner, those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. We're happy to talk throughout the week and give you our objective opinion on where you should be headed, or what is our idea on how you can be a better investor over time. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. Weather traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss here to take your calls, your questions. We're in our 10th year of Money Matters here, and God willing, we'll have another 10. And good morning. So thanks for tuning in. And the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. We're just going to go to the phones here and continue to take your calls and your questions. We're going to start with Nancy in Lilburn. Nancy, what's going on? How can we help?
Well, I have. I want to take some trips very soon.
Me too. Nancy, I want to take some trips, and I want you to take some trips. Where are you going for the trips?
I'm going to take 10 of us on a safari next year. And then the following year, I want to celebrate my 50th wedding anniversary and maybe take around the world in a private jet.
Whoa, you're going to go PJ around the world. Are you going with – now tell me about that before we get to your question. That's pretty cool. But do you have a rough estimate on the cost of that?
Yes, around the world is about $100,000 for my husband and for me.
And that would be okay. So 200 total on the private jet. And how long is the trip?
It's about 2 weeks, between 2 and 3 weeks.
Okay, so let's call it $100,000 a person.
Yes.
And would you be taking? Now that's for your 50th anniversary.
Yes. Uh huh.
Man, that is the cool. That is cool. Who does that? Have you already booked it? I don't know if I've ever heard. I've definitely heard of the round the world cruises, but I don't know if I've seen or heard of somebody doing the round the world in a plane. Who books that for you?
National Geographic does it.
Oh, it's a Nat Geo tour. Nice.
Yes, and they have about 240 people on the plane. But they go around the world. They visit India and China,
So the whole plane is doing this trip with you to some extent. But you and your husband, you can go off and do your own thing. But you'll also be with a bunch of cool people that are adventurous as well.
Right.
I need to write an article about that. I don't know. Ryan has heard about that. He's in there shaking his head like, oh yeah. And I actually in the mail, Nancy. Got a travel, I guess it was a travel guide from National Geographic Travel only a couple of weeks ago. And it was a ton, really cool brochure. It was really a magazine with all these great trips. And, you know, a lot of them were, you know, adventure level of like whether it's really, you know, you're really climbing or you're just walking. And they were really exciting just to go through that. But I don't know if I saw the one where you actually fly around the world. So that is so cool. Well, I've taken up all of our time and we're going to have to wait. You're going to have to hold and I'm going to get back and we're going to answer your financial question. But actually, we do have time for you to ask it. I'm going to have to put you on hold to answer. What is the financial part of this question?
I want to know what's the best way to take the money out so that my taxes aren't hit as hard.
All right, and about so we've determined that the big National Geographic trip is about 200, and then
right.
What's a safari with 10 friends? That sounds cool too.
Well, it's my family, my children, and my grandchildren.
And about what do you think that's going to cost?
Well, I figure that's probably going to cost about $150.
All right, $150 for the safari, and then $200 for the round the world.
Around the world.
We're talking about $350,000. The first question then I have for you, obviously, about how much do you have and but more importantly, is it in an do you have IRA money or non-IRA money? What's the split between the two?
This is money. I have everything, all our daily expenses covered. This is just extra for my trips. I have about $500,000 in stock and $500,000 in Vanguard in their funds.
Now, so that's $1 million, but where is it IRA money or after tax money?
No, it's all after tax money.
It's all after tax. Okay. So there are some real considerations to how you take that money, and I think that's part of your question here. How do you get to the $350,000 with the least amount of tax impact? So
that's correct.
So
that's
hang on. This is wonderful. Hang on for me, Nancy.
Thank you.
And we're going to come back. When Money Matters returns, we're going to answer Nancy's question. How do you fund an around-the-world trip with National Geographic in a private jet and a safari for 10? I mean, this might be a Money Matters first. This is the best call I've ever had in my life. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We're going to go right back to the phones. Nancy from Lilburn joins us on the line. I'm your host, Wes Moss. And Nancy, did you stay on the line with us?
Yes, I did.
Well, thank you. The what's interesting about your call is that we all know happy retirees take more vacations than unhappy retirees. So the numbers from, and this is from my research, and we know that, and this is, there's statistical significance between the two. And I think Nancy's definitely in the happy retiree camp. Happy retirees average 2.4 vacations a year. Unhappy retirees average 1.4. So there's a full one vacation difference between the two groups. And there's certainly up for debate whether it's the happy retirees have a tiny bit more money to do those vacations, or do they place a higher weight on spending the money on experiences? Do they place a higher value on doing something with that money, enjoying an experience? And I think Nancy's certainly in that camp, because Nancy is planning for a round-the-world trip by private jet for 50th anniversary. And while we were on break, I guess I have maybe heard of this, but if you just Google this, you'll find for National Geographic, there's a bunch of different versions of this. Around the world by private jet. There's a version where it looks like there's a around the world by private jet, the northern route. There's one on the future of everything, exploring global innovation by private jet. That's around $92,000 per person. The one on the northern route's about $90,000 per person. So that's what she's planning for, is that we've got to figure out how does she take 100 and 100 for her and her husband. That's 200. Plus, she's going to a safari for 10. That'll cost another $150,000. Sounds like she's taking her whole family. Is it the whole family, Nancy?
Yes, it is.
What prompted these the safari and the jet? Do you have friends that have done this, or was this all your idea? What gave you this idea?
It was all my idea, because we have gotten together in the past for family trips, but the past two or three years with grandchildren and soccer and swimming, it just wasn't happening. So we decided we were going to go in 2020, and everybody knows.
How many kids and grandkids is it?
It's a total of 10 of it. My husband and I, and then I have two children. They have spouses, and each one of them has two children.
So four little kids. How old are the kids?
Well, at that time, they will be 18, 16, 14, and 11.
That is so perfect. I mean, it's a perfect window to do this. Now, the question then is, and where is the safari again? Where do you go for the safari?
We're thinking of probably Kenya and Tanzania.
Kenya and Tanzania. Well, it sounds like such a great adventure. How do we pay for it? Well, you mentioned that you have some after-tax money that you're going to be spending. Now, that's kind of the first step here, is that if you were looking at IRA money. So anybody, and this has to do with whether you're spending $20,000 to replace your roof, or $20,000 for a river trip in Europe, or $200,000 for a round the world trip with National Geographic and a private jet. The first place you do not want to take this money in large chunks would be any sort of retirement fund, whether it's a 401k or a 403b or an IRA.
Because what about a Roth? I have $150,000 in a Roth.
Roth is a different story. I'd say a Roth is up for grabs, right? Because of the way Roth, a Roth IRA is taxed. It basically, there is no tax when it comes out at your stage. How old are you, Nancy?
76.
So you've had the Roth for many years. The Roth would be one area to look at, and that's 100. You said 100?
150.
Okay. And then you have obviously regular IRA money too, right?
Yes, I'm not including that at all.
Good. Because you don't want to take that money, because, again, remember, everything we pull out of a regular IRA counts towards our adjusted gross income, and that can push our income higher. And if you take 20 or 50 or 100 out, then you've just added a huge chunk to your adjusted gross income. It raises your tax bracket, and then you pay more taxes on everything, which you really want to avoid, right? So,
right.
Nancy, you're thinking about this in the right way. You want to either use this. Let's first look. Here's three things I want you to think about. One, do you have any carry forward losses? If you have had any losses in the past that you are, quote, banking, they would be on form. When you're doing your taxes, whether you're doing or your CPA is doing this, it'd be on form 1040 on your Schedule D. Keeps track of if you have ever lost any money in the past and you're carrying forward waiting to use that. This is the, you know, 2020 is the year when you can probably use it. Do you recall having a loss at any point in time?
No, but the toll of the $1 million comes from an inheritance. So, and I know how much it was worth when my mother died. So
and how long, how long ago was that?
2.5 years ago.
Okay. So So the next part here is to understand your basis. And if you have a basis of that was 2.5 years ago, now the market's higher than it was 2.5 years ago. So you've probably made some gains here. So what you would do is you'd go into your Vanguard account or your Schwab account or wherever it is, and you basically look at the positions and you click on your unrealized gain losses. So you'd look and say, hey, what do I have a loss in that I could sell? Even though the whole corpus may have made money, there may be some positions that didn't make money. And those are your first targets, Nancy, because you could sell those pieces and not pay any taxes if they're at a loss.
Right.
So that's where I would start. Now, getting a little more granular is that you click on, let's say you have a stock that did make money over the last couple of years, because typically you get at what's called a step up in basis. So when you inherited this money, you got it kind of a reset. So the basis is from 2.5 years ago when you inherited this money typically. And you would click on the position or the plus sign at wherever this is held online. And you'll typically see a bunch of different lots, L-O-T. That's your I think that's your phone ringing. So you've got a lot that might say, hey, we've got a gain in this lot and a loss in this lot. You would typically choose, you'd want to choose the ones where you have a loss. In that way, you can be selling at a slight loss or flat and not have to pay long-term capital gain tax, which would be if you've got a gain over the last couple of years, you sell something, then you're going to be having to pay long-term capital gain, which can be anywhere from zero. And from what you're telling me, it's probably not going to be zero for you from the tax bracket that you're probably in, to 15%, and it can go even higher than 15% depending on your bracket. So you have to look at each position and say, hey, what's flat or at a loss? And that's what you want to sell. Typically, that's what you want to sell. The next piece of this equation, as we wrap this up, Nancy, is that you want to keep the money. You know you're going to use it next year, and you want to keep that money safe. So I would say that if it were me, I'd look at this market and I'd say, hey, well, the market's done phenomenally well over the last 6 weeks. And we've had this big rally. Now might be the time to take some of those positions and say, okay, I'm gonna take some gains here now, or I'm gonna use this period of time because the market has done well and sell some things that still might be flat or even at a loss. They're better than they were 6 weeks ago because markets have rallied kind of across the board. But now is kind of the time to do it. And then we had a caller earlier, Nancy, that just said, hey, I need to keep some money safe for next year. You should be looking at a 1 year treasury bond today, Nancy, pays about 2.5%. 2.5%. That All means right. that you can do something similar, 2.5%, in just really safe money that you'll let that is going to stay there until, and you know you're not going to lose money if you do something really safe like a money market or CD or a treasury over the next year because you know you're going to use it for these wonderful trips, vacations, experiences you're going to take with your family. So I think this is so great that you're doing it. I wanted to at least hopefully this is helpful, this conversation on how to make sure you do it in the most tax efficient way. And I think this is awesome. So have so much fun. Please email me and let me know how it went. I think this is a great story for others to understand and know. We may even want to write an article about it. So I want to hear about it. So you got to email me, Nancy. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your help today. This gets me starting in the right direction.
Thanks, Nancy. Have a great rest of your Sunday. So, again, and you can email me. Just go to yourwealth.com, which is our website, or wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. And the contact button is the upper right-hand corner. And those emails come straight to me. Even in our office, and we've done this for a lot of years, and we just moved into a new office, we have these two big pin push boards that have a big map of the world. And what we tell the families that we work with, we want to hear where they've gone. We want to hear that the money that they're spending, and not everybody's spending $200,000 on a round the world trip with National Geographic, but I want to hear, we want to hear where you're going. Where, and just this week, I got two different postcards from South America. One from Chile and one from Peru. And just a little note, hey Wes, we're down here in Peru. It's awesome. We're having fun. Just this is for your new global tack board. And we'll take the postcard and we'll put it on the area of the world where the families that we've been working with, where they've gone. And I love to see that you're taking, using that money and you're going somewhere if it fits into the budget. And you're doing this with, whether it's just you and your family or your kids or you and your spouse or the whole family or just you and your friends. I just love to hear about these trips. And they're so diverse. I learn about so many things that I've never done or hadn't thought of doing, like bicycle tour. I mean, think about a bicycle vineyard tour in Italy. How cool would that be? Or for you, it might not be cool. So maybe you like Nancy's version of going on safari or going around the world. Or maybe doing something just completely out of the blue or different. I love to hear about it. So if you want to send us postcards too, I'll put it up on the tack board, on the global maps that we have, just specifically to hear about the families that we work with trying to find happiness in retirement. Where are you going? Love that. So you can find that. Go to wesmoss.com and there's a contact button in the upper right-hand corner. And you can find where we are. You can send us a postcard or just give us an email. Drop us a line about how we can help you pay for the same things that we just talked to Nancy about doing. How cool is that? Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Money Matters. A total 180 of three major economic themes when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Such great calls and questions today. Thank you for those. And our audience thanks you because it's the best part of Money Matters to talk about to you directly. Just give you some advice. Hear what other people are doing or the questions that you have with your money. It's super helpful for other folks that are listening to Money Matters as well. And if you didn't get all of this show, of course, you can find it via podcasts like so many folks are doing. A lot of different ways to get it. Basically, anywhere you get a podcast. So go to Spotify even. If you're on Spotify, you could just look up Wes Moss Money Matters and subscribe. Or iTunes. Go to podcast section on iTunes. Wes Moss Money Matters. Boom. Hit subscribe. Or go to my website, wesmoss.com. And you can listen. Go to the radio tab and listen to all of this. And as we kind of wrap up today, I think what's important to understand is that we're in this year of this 180 degree transformations. We spent our outlook 2019 talking about the importance of several different economic events whose outcome was teetering on the fence between glory and disaster. Specifically, one, trade with China, two, government shutdown, and three, the Fed. Sentiment on all three in this young 2019, they've tilted to the very positive. Third, and what's driving it? Third year presidential cycle. That's certainly a part of this. Trump knows that this is the year he has to at least play ball, at least a little, in order to move policy keys towards some positive economic resolution. Government shutdown, the redux of that avoided this past week. China trade, great optimism around that is gathered. There's a potential now to do some sort of deal in March or April. The Trump, even this week, has appeared to be softening his demand to conclude before March 1st. He said that, hey, look, there could be a 30 to 60 day extension should negotiators get closer to a deal. From Xi Jinping, China and the U.S. are inseparable. He was quoted. They do well or they both get hurt. They do well. They both do well or they both get hurt together. So there's some collectiveness kind of starting to bubble up about trade with China on both sides of the equation. And then the Fed. The Fed went from being on a bulldozer path of rising interest rates or raising rates to really a screeching halt. It was hike. Nine times in a row, and then stopped. They're stopped. They're not raising interest rates anymore for a while. And markets have been even pricing in a cut. If you look at the world interest rate probability as of today, there's a potential. Markets are pricing in 11% probability of a cut in interest rates in December of this year and a 20% probability of a cut in early 2020. And even this week, Fed Governor Lael Brainard argued that the Fed should end its program of balance sheet reduction later this year. So you've got this sentiment that it's shifted from disaster to, hey, things are really not nearly as bad as they may have seemed as we wrapped up 2018. It's been a much better 2019. And we don't want to get giddy about this and jump into stocks and take on too much risk. We have to press on regardless with our plan and understand that this is how markets work. We have really tough times. We get through them and we can have really good times to balance those out. Press on regardless. So good morning and thank you for tuning in to Money Matters. Have a wonderful rest of the day. You can find me and the Money Matters team at yourwealth.com or here in Atlanta. You can email us or call us and we're happy to help. Go to yourwealth.com. That's yourwealth.com. Contact button upper right hand corner. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Stay tuned to the best program on the planet right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.